I remember correctly, it was 7 years, 11 months, and 5 days after we started the business. So call it 8 years before we took a paycheck, which I think is important. This is a get rich slow, I think, is something that you said several years ago.
Everybody out there has a mentor, and today I'm unbelievably excited because my two mentors who've helped me do a ton of things in my life, personally and professionally, over the last 10 years, are interviewing each other on the podcast. So today's episode is going to be a really engaging dialogue between Kevin Polakovich and Josh Smith. These guys were early mentors of mine 10 plus years ago and remain to this day. They started out as normal people in the Grand Rapids area, but over time they built a property portfolio of over 300 doors. Not only did they do this, but they did it relatively without acquiring a ton of debt and have paid things down along the way, which puts them in a great position today. In addition to that, Kevin runs Treadstone Mortgage, one of the country's biggest boutique mortgage lenders, and Josh is a consultant to salespeople around the country. I think you're in for a great show.
So as I recall, 20 years ago, I make a really good impression on a listing agent that you were friends with. And I think, how old are you right now?
41.
So you're 21 years old. Yeah. I make a really good impression on an agent that you worked with in an office. And we had a transaction that I was able to figure some things out that someone wouldn't, and made a really good impression. And she said, hey, you should meet this guy, Josh Smith.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
I mean, just, you know, it's interesting. It's a piece that you and I talk about all the time, that you're one appointment, one meeting, one phone call away from something that's going to dramatically change your life. And I think about our 20-year business relationship. That was it. That impression I made on that agent. And for her to go out of her way to say, hey, you should meet Josh. I mean, what an amazing thing.
I was young in the business, right? Her name was Kathy, right? Yeah. In my real estate office. Yeah. And she said, you got to meet this guy. It literally might have been one of the first 10, 20 business meetings I ever had, right?
You're 21.
Yeah, right. So been in a lot of meetings and grew up in the business. But yeah, that was fun. I remember sitting at that round table out back, out there off from Lake Michigan Drive, having that conversation. So she was impressed with you and your business and connected us. And the rest is history, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to think back to some of those early years, what that was like in our friendship, our relationship. But I remember it clearly.
I was calling on you being a real estate professional, and you were developing some houses, smaller spec home stuff, and you were selling some real estate, traditional real estate, where you'd meet a client, refer them to me on the mortgage side, and we'd work back and forth. So it was that typical piece. It's probably early that I realized that developing deep relationships with my business partners I work with day in, day out, helping them do things. And in turn, it's good. It was good.
Yeah.
20 years.
Yeah. I remember there were some key pivotal pieces. I remember when we were, I was standing in a garage over on Plymouth Avenue, and you called me, and I remember it very vividly. And you said, we got to take a drive. And I go, okay, where are we going? We got to go up to Pentwater, Manistee, Ludington area. We got to go find some property. We got to think bigger. We got to look at this next thing. And that was, you know, right. So we were doing real estate deals together. That was probably 5 years into our relationship. Real estate deals together, different transactions, typical agent, lender. And then we developed that partnership to what would become the Lake Michigan Cottage Builders, right?
Think big.
So, yeah, that's right. Still have the rock.
Think big.
Still have the rock.
Yeah. Yeah. So we jump in. We're not going to talk a lot about that development stuff, but I think a few minutes, we found some high-end property, found some property that we saw potential in Pentwater area, and ran a successful business
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. We always kept our day jobs, right? Yeah. Which was helpful. But that was fun. We were challenged by it. We wanted something bigger and something different. But ultimately, the guy from Mr. Burger came back years later. And I think I called you or you called me or whatever. And we said, what are we doing, right?
Well, let's talk about Lake Michigan Cottage Builders. Sure. Let's see if we can sum up 5-6 years in 2 minutes. So the opportunity that we both saw.
Yeah.
And by the way,
a good way to put it.
I think this is a good piece, is that you and I didn't have any money. We had a little bit of equity in the house. Right. couple thousand dollars in the bank. It wasn't like, hey, trust fund kid, you got a bunch of money and go put this to work. So I think that's a big piece. But instead of looking at smaller spec homes to buy a small spec home, do renovation, do a flip, we said, hey, let's go bigger. Let's find some, Michigan, I think we take it for granted sometimes with Lake Michigan and gorgeous resource and the water and the outdoors and everything else. So we found some vacant land and we...
270 foot of frontage up there and said, all right, let's split this up and let's build this. And if you build it, they will come sort of thing, right? Not too many people were building specs on Lake Michigan at that point, but we did it. We saw the opportunity. We did really well with it, right? So what was that? Over the course of 4 or 5 years, built maybe 10, 12 homes up there, sold them all, had some really fun times, some really good clients, good product. And then, we finished our last one in 2008. But at the same time that was happening, and we got out of that and moved on from that. But at the same time that was happening, both being lifelong residents of Grand Rapids, saw the opportunity here in Grand Rapids, right?
Yeah. Well, and one of our go-to spots to meet before driving up, because we both had our day jobs, let's meet at 6 o'clock in the morning on Mr. Burger in Lake Michigan, Lake Michigan
Drive, here,
just outside of Grand Rapids, just in Grand Rapids. We'd meet there. Hop in the car, drive up together, up to Pentwater, Ludington, wherever it was, and turn around and come back. And I remember the Mr. Burger guy that you had talked about. So the Mr. Burger guy rolls in, old pickup truck, coveralls.
Yeah.
Literally, you should have been on the cover of The Millionaire Next Door.
Yeah.
So in coming to get to know him a little bit, he owned, do you remember how many properties?
He owned 40 properties, because that was what our first target was, because we wanted to emulate him.
40 properties, free and clear. Yep. And as we're driving up in the car after having a couple of these conversations, let's think about this guy. It was 40 properties at the time. They're worth $150,000 a piece. So he's got $6 million of real estate. He owns them free and clear. Let's say he's making $1,000 a month in rent. Let's back off tax, insurance, maintenance, upkeep. This guy's making $30,000 a month. Yep. He's never going to have to sell the asset.
Yep.
And what are us two dummies doing, hopping in a car, driving 100 miles away, laying it all on the line? And if everything works out, we flip a property and we make a couple bucks, which gets divided in half and gets taxed at 40%.
Yeah.
And we were into this and it was going. We saw this and we continued to have that conversation. The thing that saved us in exiting Lake Michigan Cottage Builders, because we had our day job, and this really is an I would think this is a big thing in our business relationship and our philosophies, that we rolled the quote unquote phantom profit that we made in every one of these properties. I guess it was technically real profit, but we rolled it again and again and again to each property, so that when the bottom dropped out in 2008-09, most guys, almost everyone in that business at that time that were building spec homes, called the bank and said, hey, here are the keys. We didn't. And we didn't have to, because we had rolled our margin again and again and again. Yeah. So we basically just worked for free for about 6 years. Yeah. How it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that's some painful lessons, right? But we got through it. And that was the piece, though, that I think continued to develop our strength together as friends, as business partners, to say, if we can get through this, we can get through anything, which then created the Fulton Group, right? Because when we were finishing up that up north along the lake, there was overlap there when we started developing our rental property portfolio.
So selling a one point something, last one was one point,
what was one point, well, we listed at 1.8 or 1.9, ended up selling 1.4, I think.
So going from 1.4 to buying a property at $26,000. Yeah. Talk about polar extremes.
Yeah.
But I think that's a case of going where the market is and going where opportunity is. And I think it's something you and I have always been very good at. I never saw myself owning 147 properties, 270 units.
Yep.
Did you ever see that?
No. No.
I think that when we decided we were going to do it, we did. And I wanted to make some money in passive income and understood real estate and value real estate, but not to the extent. I think it's a piece of we went where the opportunities
were. And finding that passive income, we just didn't know quite how we were going to get there, because we had looked at plenty of residential real estate to buy prior to 2008. We just never made sense. We didn't quite have our mind wrapped around how we would operate it, how it would work, how the whole thing would go. And then the opportunity of 2008 came, and it was like, we can't not do this, right?
Real estate has a lot of contracts. I want this podcast to have a social contract as well. Here's what I need from you. If you're listening to the show and you get something valuable out of it, or you hear something that you think, that's awesome, I want you to send me a DM on Instagram, or if you find my email, send it that way. The more feedback that I get helps me to put together better shows and attract better guests.
Remember the first call, and this is a good piece of being partners with the right person, and we made an analogy of gas pedal and brake and high level and details. I remember the conversation back in 2008 or nine. It was, hey, there's a whole bunch of properties for sale right now, and they're really cheap, like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And there's hundreds of them, man. I think there's an opportunity, and no one's going after a demographic in this town that I really saw an opportunity. And you being you and coming back with the details a day later, it's, well, there's hundreds of properties below $50,000. Last year, only X amount of properties sold under $100,000. Historically, it's this. Historically, it's this. There's 60,000 full-time college students in and around the Grand Rapids area. So you came back with the details to back up a crazy idea and the details. And we worked that back and forth. And so our first purchase was, let's just not get one. Let's work towards the guy at Mr. Burger and say, how do we get to 40 units? And there's a couple other reasons for 40 units.
Yeah, we looked at it and we said, hey, I'm not going to quit my day job. You're not going to quit your day job. How do we do this? So we knew enough we could get some things put together. But we said, if we can get to 40 units, we can hire our own property manager, our own leasing advisor, our own everything. And that's 40 units at $100 a piece. If we charge ourselves $100 a piece, that's $4,000. It's $48,000 a year in 2008. It's a great wage today even, but back then it was a fantastic wage. And so we that was the first number. Where are we going? We're going to get to 40. And we went as fast as we could to get to 40. What's interesting is we thought that the opportunity, I was looking at some of our pitch decks or whatever you want to call it a couple of weeks ago. We thought the opportunity was only going to last about 3 years. And we got to go.
Two, three years. A year. Then it was like, maybe another year. But it was that wasn't the outside when we first started.
Yeah.
Because it was so stupid.
Yeah. So, so we went and we got after it, and we got to 40, I don't know, maybe after a couple of years, something like that. But before we had that first property ready to lease, we had brought on a property manager, a leasing advisor to manage it. So
And so that model early on was we're going to buy in areas that we like. We identified quickly that we liked this area in and around a downtown Grand Rapids area, Fulton Group being on and off of Fulton, east and west of Fulton, and buying some really rough properties. I mean, really rough properties.
The roughest of the rough.
Roughest of the rough. And going from the worst property on the street to the best property in the street. $30,000, $40,000 purchase price, $60,000 renovation. I mean, everything. New windows, new floors, new driveways, new porches, new siding. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we always had, once we found the opportunity, we then knew that we had to put together a clear path of how we're going to seize on the opportunity. And it's funny because looking back, these like three or four core principles still apply today. And we had these very early on. I'm not going to say day one when we started, but within the first 6 to 12 months. Number one was, to your point, buy only in a couple key areas. Number two was over-improve the properties, because if we wouldn't live there, we don't want to rent it, right? Would you walk down the middle of the street at midnight? Would you rest your head in that house at night? That sort of thing. The third piece was develop a brand and our own management, because nobody cares about your stuff as much as you care about your stuff. It's just human nature, right? And then the fourth and final one, which I think is really the piece that really did it and continues to, is we're going to pay down debt as aggressively as we possibly can, because we didn't know what was going to happen. This is 2008, 9, 10, 11, right? We don't know. It might collapse again. It might whatever. But that turned out to be the biggest piece, because we just hammered down that debt and we continue to. So those are the four key principles. And what's interesting is we never, ever, ever, ever really, truly thought about price appreciation. Because it didn't matter.
Well, our bankers wouldn't allow us to build an appreciation as a piece. Well, going back to a couple of huge pieces, better quality. There's a couple big things in the better quality. If we wouldn't live in it, we don't want to rent it. That doesn't mean I want to live in a 200 square foot efficiency, but it means it's got to be quality. It's got to be, I don't want bugs and cockroaches and crates. Like if I wouldn't live in, I think that's a big thing. The other thing is that better quality does, it makes it easier to turn over between tenants. It's like pay now or pay later to go put in all wood floors, to put in solid surfaces, to really do things right and build a quality product. In long term, it pays. Short term, it's painful to put the extra money, but long term, it pays.
Yeah, absolutely. New furnaces, new windows, new roof, new siding, new hardwood floors. Like it was tough to put all those capital improvements into those properties. We could have done a lot less, but here we are 15 years later. And our properties are still in fantastic shape. Demand, we have high quality tenants, good rent rates, because we don't have all these sunk capital improvements as we've been going down the road.
The other big thing was paying down debt. And that was very counterintuitive to what the model has been.
Yep.
And looking at social media to continue to see, wow, I'm making $200 on a property. I'm going to go buy 20 of them. I'm making $4,000 a month. I'm going to go quit my day job. We got into this. That philosophy is largely what led to 2008 and 2009 financial crisis. Mm-hmm. Leverage up. Don't pay down debt. Stretch it out. Live off the cash flow. It's going to be great. It just doesn't happen. So our piece was, let's do opposite. Like, let's go right instead of left. Mm-hmm. Let's look at differently.
Yeah, we did that. We said, okay, what's the typical landlord business model? It is buy it and put as little into it as possible and grind
peel
it
and
out.
Peel and stick, slap a coat of paint on, get it running.
So what's the opposite of that? Let's go do that. The typical model is let's buy it, let's refinance it, let's suck the cash flow off from it forever. And we said, okay, what's the opposite of that? And so kind of certainly a contrarian view to how typical property management and property ownership works. So
15 years in the Fulton Group, and it's the, I remember at, we started seeing some success around year 10 or 11.
Yeah.
When did we get our first giant paycheck out of the Fulton Group?
Sending an email, giant being $5,000. I think it was around April to help pay some income tax, right? It was 7 years, 11 months and 5 days after we started the business. So call it 8 years before we took a paycheck, which I think is important, right? For those that are thinking about investing in real estate now, like this is a get rich slow, I think is something that you said several years ago, which is interesting. And counter to what most is what's out there right now, it's get rich slow. It's put the money back in, it's pay down debt. And then years down the road, you're going to be in a good spot. It's not today.
Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification. Trying to teach my kids.
We're all trying to teach kids delayed gratification. I mean, that's true. I try to teach adults that. It's the same thing. The piece to look at this into a handful of years ago, getting to a spot. And the first check was a few thousand dollars. Now it gets to be a little bit more. And now you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we're in the debt snowball that we're going to be in a spot that we're largely debt-free in the next several years. Yep. But that's because we made the decisions we did. Yep. I talk to clients all the time that are having mortgage conversations like, this is a side hustle.
Yep.
Side hustle on the size and scale that we're at in the Fulton Group, it's a side hustle for you.
Yep.
Really think it's a great investment. Did you learn this in school? Did you learn about passive income and rental properties?
No one teaches you this stuff, right? Yeah. It's I think that's that's what you read, right? You're your closest three people around you. Yep. You are what you eat. You are what you read. So getting some good mentors in this business and getting a good business plan put together that just simply makes sense. Yep. Like there's nothing like super special or super awesome about what we came up with. It's the basics. It's put the pickle on the burger the same way every time. It just like is common, logical, like common sense.
So great story. You guys set yourself up great. 2009. I don't have a time machine. Really great story. But how does that
apply to me today?
And I think let's talk about that a little bit. I have a strong opinion on where we're at. And you know, you and I talk about this kind of stuff often when we get together. In West Michigan specifically, that's where we're both at. I look at the median house price right now in West Michigan compared to the median house price in the country, and we're dramatically lower. I pulled up an article again that I first read in 2020 that talked about us as a country underbuilding somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 million fewer homes than we should have after the Great Recession, 2010 to 2020. Shortage of housing, scarcity of housing. We don't have enough people getting into the trades. Construction costs are high. Our prices are still below the median. I still think there's tremendous opportunity if you go into it with the right approach, delayed gratification. Yep. Let's pay down debt. Yep. Every month, I might have to put a couple $100 in because it doesn't kick out checks, but that's okay, right?
Neighborhood Realtor Podcast is proudly made possible by the support of our sponsors, Treadstone Funding and Neighborhood Loans, two amazing Midwest mortgage companies that now have offices all around the country. If you're a real estate agent looking to partner with an amazing lender, DM me at MattMuskett88 and I'll connect you with someone in your market. If you're a lender and you want to join the right mortgage company, DM me and I'll connect you as well.
I'm hearing you talk here. What's interesting is the same four principles we had still apply today.
Yeah.
I'm just hitting me. Like, number one, buy high quality properties, right? Find an area would be number one that you like.
Yep.
But number two is buy high quality properties and or make them high quality because high quality is always going to be occupied. Yep. Number three, figure out how you're going to manage it. Figure that out, whether it's a property manager, if you got one, two, but that's okay, right? You don't have to do that like we did it to develop our own because the opportunity might not be to buy 40, but who are you going to have manage it? Make sure there's anybody can put anything on paper, but can they back it up? What does it look like? And number four, be about long-term and debt reduction, right? Yeah. We talk about that, Calvin. There's really three pieces, right? There's appreciation in the property value. So you got a $300,000 property. It goes up at 5% per year. You have $15,000 in appreciation. Again, we never built that into our model. Today, don't build that into your model then. If you think you're at the peak or prices are going to come down or whatever, well, who cares? Then let them come down, right? So number one's appreciation. Number two is depreciation, meaning from a tax savings perspective.
And a lot of people don't understand that. We are able to depreciate the asset on your tax return to get a savings every single year.
Yeah, consult with your CPA, obviously, but typically it's like 27 and a half years. So you take the property value that whatever you paid for it minus the land divided by 27 and a half, you get to depreciate a certain portion of that piece of real estate every single year and have real, true, hard dollar tax savings every single year. So that's the second piece, right? And then the third piece is debt reduction. Okay, you might have a $1,500 a month mortgage payment or $2,000 a month mortgage payment, but not all of that is gone and gone forever. $300, $500, $600, whatever the dollar amount is of that $2,000 might be going directly towards principal reduction. So you start adding up appreciation, depreciation, and debt reduction. That's what you and I have historically called phantom income. You can't really see it. You can't really touch it. You can't really get to it, but it's there. And in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to see that in your balance sheet.
And when that asset's paid off and you get to a spot, if you bought one property a year, two properties a year, over 10, 15 years, it is get rich slowly. And for most people, they're not going to, and they don't need to build something in the size and the scope and the scale. I mean, we have 15 people that work in the business every day. Right. Is that correct?
Yeah. Plus minus. Yeah.
Someone can go hire, go interview a couple property managers, find a property manager to manage your property, buy that asset to buy one a year, to buy two a year over 15 years. I mean, look at the amount of money you would amass over an extended period of time, delayed gratification.
Yeah. It's really run a model where you just, don't worry too much about all the finite details, but say, I'm going to buy one property a year for the next 5 years. Just say they're $300,000 a piece. Yeah. After 5 years, you got $1.5 million worth of real estate, not including appreciation. And then say the next 10 years, you're going to pay them down to zero. That's a 15-year plan to likely have roughly, everything's going to double every 10 years, plus or minus. Yeah. So you roughly, in a short 15 years, you got $3 to $3.5 million worth of real estate, paid for free and clear, probably $30,000, $40,000 a month coming in, no debt. Like it's not as difficult as everybody says it needs to be.
I find myself meeting with a lot of people that are, hey, I'm just not growing fast enough. I'm just not getting there quick enough. I didn't buy my first rental property till I was 38 years old. It's the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Next best time is right now, getting that first property. And I think going in with your eyes wide open, you are going to have to write some checks.
Yes.
you're going to have to put a furnace in, and there's not an extra $6,000 of cash flow that came out. Right. The property needed a roof you didn't expect. Sooner than you expected, it's going to cost $10,000. Yep. But if you look at this in the long game, and this $300,000 asset in 20 years when it's paid off is worth $600,000, yeah, and it's kicking out a check, yeah, forever, it's no different than putting money into your 401k or your IRA or into your savings account. Yep. Just being prepared for that. And I think it's a mistake that everything has now, and you have to be able to take a couple punches to, yeah, be able to write those checks. And, yep, and it's a thing that maybe instead of buying that next property right away, let's build up your war chest a little bit. Let's, yep, get a little more cash set off the side so you're ready for a tough time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's that 7 years, 11 months, and, yeah, 5 days thing, right? If we can do it, anybody can do it. And I think it's that whole piece, don't quit your day job. That's the worst thing you could do. So, people come and ask that all the time. Hey, I'm going to do this. Don't quit your day job.
So we still buy today. We don't buy as much. A lot of our housing, by the way, we talk about single family housing. A lot of our inventory is single family housing. We very much believe in single family housing. A lot of the properties we buy right now are in a spot where we own six or seven on the street, and one sits there right, yep, next door. That's, yep, been
10 or 20 on a street. Yeah.
But 10,
yeah,
or 20. And that one house that's been run by a slumlord for a long time, that, yep, when it goes to market, we plug our nose and overpay for, yep, it because, yep, we've improved everything else. And we just want to change that property as well. So, yep, smaller on those, still opportunity in those markets. You said something, and we don't do a lot of these. You and I were interviewed, or we did a piece maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, and you said something that still rattles me. What would you do differently if someone, yeah, asked? And you said, I would have bought higher quality properties that didn't need as much renovation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I haven't been able to get that out of my head. You said this.
Sorry, I said that.
No, it's, yeah, but you're right. So that's something that I would say to someone. We talk about, hey, we did this massive renovations. If that's not your jam,
no,
find something that's already good, add a coat of paint, do some things, put some stuff together, higher quality property, yeah, especially if you believe that our median prices here,
yeah,
the country's here, we're going to come up. Buy a better quality property now that needs less and grind, right, it out.
And don't worry about this price or that price. You know, I had a friend that said, I said, how do you invest in the stock market? Like, how do you know things are going to go up or down or whatever? It just frustrates me as a real estate guy. It frustrates me. He said, you got to ask yourself this one question related to the stock market and applies to real estate. Do you think that the S&P 500 is going to be at a higher value or a lower value 10 years from now than it is today? And you ask that same question. Do I think real estate prices 10 years from now for a single family home in West Michigan, do I think they're going to be at, below, or above where they are today? And my answer is, without a doubt, higher, right?
Yes.
No one can predict the future, but that's, yes, that's my opinion. And so when you look at that over a long-term investment horizon, I think there's a lot of great deals today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll also say, specifically with real estate, I think, is a lot like politics. It's local. There are local things. Like, yeah, we know our market really well, but if someone listening to this in different spots of the country, you need to understand. We dialed in on a specific area, product type that we really understood. We knew the nuances of,
yep,
that.
Yep.
When we veered away from that, we had problems.
We've had problems. Yeah.
And we haven't done it a lot, but we've been focused.
Oh, but so, it's the entrepreneur's curse, right? Want to, hey, yeah, what's the next thing? And
I'm really good at this, so I should be good at everything,
yeah,
else. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've done that. But yeah, I think that's getting dialed in what your model is. Like what are your four core principles? It'd be an interesting challenge for, yeah, anybody that wants to buy real estate. Hey, I'm committed to debt reduction. I'm committed to high quality properties. I'm committed to not worrying so much about what I pay for it. Because I'm looking at the long-term horizon on this thing. Like, what are someone's core principles, core beliefs when they're going to build out their model? It's no different than when you go sit and talk to an investment advisor and say, do you want a 40-60 split, or do you, yeah, want aggressive growth, or do you want conservative? Like, what is your model specific to buying rental properties?
And look at more deals. I think that looking at more deals, pencil the deal out.
Yep.
Even if you don't go walk through the property, you get an idea and you find something online, look it up, yep, and say, what's this price? What can I get for rent? There's, yep, so many resources out there. Pencil it out and see what it works like. Plug, yep, a mortgage payment in. Yep. We look at a lot of deals. We look at a lot of deals.
We do.
And
we should track that to know, like, it's 30-1 or 60-1 or whatever.
As good as you are in tracking everything, yeah, you probably haven't, yeah, tracking that. You probably have it somewhere.
Got a file, but I could go back, reverse engineer it. Yeah. Good. You know, right? That was us. That's, yeah, our 15, 20-year journey. I mean, your thoughts, Kevin, on, like, how does someone do it today?
think the first thing that you have to do is you have to own your primary residence. From time to time, I talk to someone that's talking about buying an investment property and they're living in an apartment. The first piece you have to do is buy your primary residence. Buy your primary residence. You can get in with a low down payment. Start building equity and owning your primary residence. From there, you can go and buy another primary residence, turn your prior residence into a rental property. That's an option. Or if you love your primary residence, maybe you've been in your primary residence, maybe you already own your home, and you have a 3% mortgage rate and you're set with a bunch of equity, open up a home equity line of credit. And that home equity line of credit you can use as down payment for your first rental property. Cool. It's a great tool. And to buy one rental property, find a property manager, do the work. See if you like it. Get some free cash flow. Pay down that equity line of credit, that original deposit that you took from your home equity line of credit. Use it to buy any extra cash that's coming in. Pay down the home equity line of credit. Continue to pay that down. Get that first property on your belt. Let it go 12 months and see if you like it.
Yeah.
If you like it,
good advice.
Look at buying another one that year. If you like it, buy another one. Typical client can do 4 mortgages underneath their own name and case by case and get up to 10 mortgages.
Wow.
Do not want someone to do that overnight. Want them to do it over an extended period of time to understand it if they truly like it. Yeah. If you get in a year or two, you find out you don't like it, I feel we're heading into a market. You'd be able to sell that property and still make a profit and decide, hey, it's not for me. Or it is, and look at going forward and building more.
Yeah, good. Good. It's interesting your comment earlier about the cost of construction. So I would agree with you. I think that if for some reason you didn't like it, for some reason the plan didn't work out, you got a single family home that you can sell. One of the most marketable pieces of real estate in the world, right?
Absolutely.
So, good. All right, Kevin. Well, boy, this is a lot of fun. You know, this is our story. Yeah. This is our journey. I hope everybody that listens to this gets something out of it. I have a day job, you have a day job, right? And we're never quitting our day jobs. I enjoy talking about this stuff and being able to add some value to people, and you do too. How does someone get a hold of you? How does that work to be able to add some value to people?
So there's a lot of people out there that talk about this kind of stuff in theory, and they've read it and they've watched some YouTube channels. I'm unique in the fact that I'm a mortgage originator. This is what I do all day long, is help clients with mortgages, and whether it's a primary residence or buying investment property. And it's a unique perspective. I am not selling clients. I explore with a lot of clients on, do they want to do this? Is this something for them? What holes do they see? And I always love the opportunity. I'm probably meeting with clients two, three times a week, specifically related to rental property on top of primary residences above and beyond, specifically related to rental property. Best way to get a hold of me, Kevin P. at TreadstoneMortgage.com, or give me a call. You'll find me online, Kevin Plotkin.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you.